Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Monday, July the 26th, 2021. Your host, Sturch and Gooch. And, of course, we are not joined by AJ because, well, he's sleeping, right? Or something like that. He texted. I did get the text.
He wasn't going to come anyway because of Rolling Loud, the Delta variant.
So he's not. Listen, he's not. He's going to get tested. We made that executive decision. At first, I'm like, get your ass in here, bro. And then I'm thinking, I'm like, there's a lot of people coming in and out of this building, so let's just be safe to be sorry. Better safe than sorry, and we'll get him either back in studio tomorrow or quarantine for however long. So we'll see. But I hope you had a good time. How was your weekend? I know we started it together at Joe Matarese's Remember When over in Boundbrook, beautiful Boundbrook, New Jersey, which is...
It's like Tijuana, Mexico.
I was just going to say, it's definitely not what I remember it to be, but it was a good show. I'll say that, you know, the sound guy, according to Matarese, sound guy set up the sound, dipped out of town. So he left Joe kind of reeling, had to do his own slides. Joe needs a guy, not going to be you because you're busy, unless he throws all sorts of nice cheddar at you. That's another story. But, he was a one-man band, and his opening acts were pretty good. One guy from Jersey 101.5, one of the late-night hosts. I think he also works for WIP in Philadelphia, scum. But then he had a second guy. He was good. That was funny. He made a couple jokes. I think he's a motivational speaker, actually.
Yeah, he's not even a comedian. That's Joe's cousin.
Oh, word? Yeah. I didn't know that. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, all right. Joe's cousin was the second opener.
Joe's cousin doesn't have a name.
Yeah, my fault on that one. And then Matarese did his thing. Matarese's act right now is very catered to the 50 to 60-year-old people because they grew up when Joe grew up, and he does this Remember When thing. And some of the stuff I got, you know, the phone with the cord and, like, you know.
It was a good act because Ashley even laughed a lot, and she didn't know a goddamn thing.
Right, she probably was not in the know about a lot of these things.
But Joe's just good. He's a good performer. Yeah. I was impressed.
Yeah, the one joke that I will kept repeating all weekend to myself, and he said, I think the first time, this was off the cuff, and he said, write that down because it was so funny, was that he was talking about sandals and how Jesus was the only one to wear them, and even Jesus is like, Jesus, and I kept saying it all weekend long. So shout out to Joe and his show, fun times. Shout out to the cockroach we saw in the hallway after the show. Shout out to Arugas and that pretzel that got me godly sick. I was very bad,
bro. Arugas was absolutely fucking disgusting.
It was. I'll never
go
back.
The burger wasn't bad because I guess you can't do a burger wrong at Arugas or anywhere. That's a chain restaurant, but Jesus,
bro. That was bad. The pretzel was just, it looked like it was dunked in butter.
They had like 90 beer taps, and we go to order beer, and they were like, all right, don't let the taps fool you. We have Miller Lite, Coors Light. Right. They did have a Kane Head High, which I was impressed by because Kane is my shit.
Kane is good stuff. I definitely divulged in Kane during the pandemic when I was trying everything under the sun as far as craft beer is concerned. But yeah, good overall night. Had a good time. Got home. Saturday, you dipped. Goodbye, right?
Yeah, early departure to Lavalette, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Now I'm paying the price. I match the singlet that you're wearing. Not you, but the Paz.
Oh, the Paz shirt that I'm wearing.
The Paz shirt, and yeah, I'm beat
red. You are red. You are very red.
It's actually on my titties and my belly button. Oh, everywhere, so
did
bro.
You so put on sunscreen?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I don't do that.
I put sunscreen on because it was disgustingly hot out, right. So I wasn't overly burnt.
Right.
Yesterday, it started off gloomy, and it was kind of windy and rainy. We weren't going to really do the beach.
Swear to God, Ashley had posted something on her Instagram and said, like, do you go to the beach on gloomy days? And I wanted to respond, you actually get more burnt on gloomy days, and here you are.
Well, I knew that anyway because I'm a seasoned veteran when it comes to being sunburnt.
Right.
I kind of knew that, but I also was like, you know what? We're only going to be on the beach for a couple hours, if that, and it was kind of cloudy.
Yeah. And this is when the sun just decides to pulverize you
more.
You
get the greenhouse effect.
Yes, it was big time. So
yeah, I'm in pain, but.
It was a nice little trip, though. Nice little getaway. I thought you were going to be gone today for whatever reason, so I guess that was not a thing.
We were going to do jet skis and then Tiki Monday, but Ashley's going to Nashville on Wednesday, and she has a bunch of job interviews lined up this week before she goes, so it would just been.
She still doesn't want to work here. As a thing. She doesn't want to do that.
She wrote a blog. Have one in the can.
Okay, cool.
It's a fitness blog this time.
There we go. Now we're divulging in the world of fitness over in chopsportsmedia.com. So that was Friday, your weekend. My weekend was good. Man, I found a splash park about 5 minutes from my house. My daughter was just loving every second of it. For somebody who just started, she doesn't even know how to swim yet. but she knows how to like kick her feet and stuff. She was going face first into some of these like spray things. And I was just like, dude, she is having the time of her life. So that was Saturday. Then Sunday, just kind of was lazy. Took a meeting with Marcus, though. We're discussing a couple things. Marcus Finger out of Maryland, one of our CHOP athletes. We're discussing ways to just kind of promote and get his stuff out there. We will, with that, we can say that we signed Mohamed Tor. Torre and Aaron Lewis, both Rutgers players. We're at the point now where we pretty much have the entire defensive line and depth, like, and their backups. You know what I mean? Like, so hopefully they can come up with a nice little saying over the training camp and then put that on a shirt and make some more money for those guys. So I will say I did shoot Tavert off a text on Saturday. I think it was Saturday morning. When did I go to the gym? Saturday morning. And no, Sunday morning. Sorry. So yesterday I texted him. I was like, bro, I was like, how cool does it feel to have these people getting their shirts, rocking them proudly? And like, he's like, dude, I never thought I would feel like this. Like, this is pretty damn cool. So yes, we are paying these guys. Yes, they are making money, but yes, they're finally feeling like they're appreciated a little more than other people doing the old attaboys, you know, good season, attaboy, you know what I mean? Like, these people are rocking their colors, rocking just their shirts, and it's awesome. I'm even rocking one of Paz's shirts today. Feels great. So check out chopsports.shop for all of the NIL CHOP athletes. Support those guys. We're cranking out new designs. I know Madison's just went up today. Our first female CHOP athlete, her Attack It lacrosse, women's lacrosse shirt went out there. That's on there right now, and we'll get a couple more later on. But we'll get into the Yankees. I mean, it just at this point, dude, I don't know if you even watched it. You were busy all weekend, but there was some catastrophic losses within this series. Now, I keep saying this, and I even told my dad this yesterday. I was like, how many times are we going to go into these losses and saying, that was the worst loss of the season? Like, that's too many at this point.
They had a really nice win.
They did. And then it's like, you think like, you know what? We could split. This is great. And you know what? And like, just kind of getting right into it. Before I do get into that, I do want to announce, this is a shameless self plug, that a new podcast will be dropping probably next week, the week before Hard Knocks. It's going to be called All About the Star. It's going to be hosted by yours truly. I'm going to do a Cowboys podcast. I finally came up with the idea to not have a co-host, but to have all the co-hosts. Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to rotate about 10 or 12 of my favorite guys on Twitter that I follow throughout the season that are content creators and stuff like that. I feel like that'll help the reach. That'll, every time they retweet an episode, they're going to want back on. I think it's a good idea.
I've been waiting for the launch pad of the Packers Pulse podcast, but I can't do anything until Wednesday. Today, the shareholders meeting is going on in Green Bay, and we'll find out a little bit more of what the front office has to say, because now the shareholders are going to want to know what's going on with their team. Obviously, the Packers are in peril.
Now, when they say shareholders, I know, like, we make a joke that you're one of them, you know, like, that you actually have some. But are there, like, majority shareholders, like, bigger dudes, bigger wigs out of this deal? Or is everybody just gets to buy in whatever they want?
Not everybody can
buy
in.
Like, what did you pay for this?
$250.
$250.
Mine is a figurehead share, but I do get a ticket to go to the shareholders meeting if I so choose.
So you could have went there as a representative of Chop Sports.
Sitting on my desk.
Son of a bitch. You should have did it.
Oh, yeah. On Chop Sports, though, I would have fucking charged it to the
There you go. It's a business expense. But anyway, yeah, so they got to figure something out. Because yesterday, now we're getting comments on Chop Sports Facebook group that, you know, again, where the sources are coming from, we can't really take it with any merit. But the Davante Adams stuff, like,
Rodgers is going to retire.
Rodgers is now retiring, not going to play at all.
I'll tell you what, though.
That's the way out, I think. That's probably the only way out.
That's the only way out. But he's going to forfeit a ton of his signing bonus if that's the case. What I think is, if you saw the tweet that they both tweeted out, Davante and Rodgers.
Kind of corny, but okay.
Of course, definitely corny. But I think there's an underlying message to let everybody know. Read between the lines here. It's Devontae's walk year. Rodgers can't really retire this year without forfeiting about $40
million. So it's their last dance.
So I think what's happening is, even if Rodgers can't force a trade out of town, and this is my first time admitting this, that it might be one final go at it, but it does open the door for the Packers to potentially fix things throughout the season. And if they win a Super Bowl, maybe things kind of fix.
Or plan around it, you know, and say, like, Jordan Love is, yes, he'll be the guy. Or we, you know, decide to go into the draft next year and get the guy. You know what I mean? Now you have at least if Rodgers is doing this for you, that's a favor to Green Bay. Saying, like, all right, this is my final go. It ain't going to work.
Would do me a favor and just say he's coming back.
Yeah, well, it's almost as if he wants to keep people in suspense.
We've been talking about it. I've said, they're going to wait until after Monday to decide what's going to happen so the shareholders could kind of get in the front office ass a little bit. Mm-hmm. I saw a guy at the bagel shop down Lavalette, and he was wearing a Milwaukee Brewers shirt. And even as I saw my Packer tattoo.
And you have a Packer tattoo? Did I ever see this?
And he's he was an older guy. And his thoughts were Rodgers is a baby, and that's the
seems to be the narrative right now.
It seems to be the narrative amongst the older generation that don't understand the dynamic of the contracts in the NFL and how the players don't really have shit. The teams will cut you in a heartbeat, and you see what happened with Rodgers. He's the star of the league. He won the MVP last year, and they. I'm not saying that you owe a player a say, but in the modern day. Not even NFL, just in sports in general. You see what goes on.
They're dedicated and dictated by the players.
League, as much as you want to say the owners and the commissioner, no. The players are what sells. The players are the product, and Rodgers is the MVP. You got to give him a little bit more of a, I wouldn't say you need to give him a decision-making ability, but you got to at least run things by him.
He's like a playing GM. And I think there's guys like that. Like, look, I know we don't want to talk about Tom Brady, but I'm sure Brady had some kind of influence on getting certain guys. Like, why else would they sign Antonio Brown?
Maybe not with the Patriots.
No, but I'm saying the new way. You know, when you went into Tampa, they're like, all right, Tom, to win a Super Bowl, what do you need? You know, oh, you know what? Fournette's out there. Get Fournette, too, on top of what we got. Oh, we have Mike Evans and this guy, but get Antonio Brown, too. They're listening to him, and they're saying, here you go, Tom. Win us a Super Bowl. And he did. So why can't the Packers do that? Now, I'm not saying, like, that should be the mold for the NFL because, you know, Dak Prescott's got his guys around him.
Not everybody has an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady.
Very true.
So the teams that do need to kind of respect the fact. Peyton Manning, nobody ever heard about Peyton Manning talking shit about his front office because the front office always acknowledged that he had a say in things.
He's always been, you know, he's always throwing at marquee receivers, Harrison, Reggie Wayne. You know, even in Denver, he had Demaryius Thomas in his younger years. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had guys to throw to, and they catered to him. So
the underlying point, though, is they removed the Packers' future bets off of a lot of sports books.
Wow. Yeah, because you can't do that. Like,
and then they resurfaced the next day and I on a few, and I saw the Packers' win total at over 8.5 plus 100. I'll take that because that was fueled by the speculation that Rodgers might not come back.
Do you think there's any merit to these guys knowing the inside, like inside when they do the books?
I'll go more so with what Vegas knows because they're not reporters.
They're not reporters, but they know shit. You know what I mean? Like something.
But it wasn't like they have a guarantee that Rodgers is retiring, which is why they didn't lower it completely and then they just pulled it and said, well, we got to wait and see what happens here. They don't want anybody betting because there's so much uncertainty surrounding it.
I mean, at plus 100, I would take that in a heartbeat.
Well, they pulled everything.
So now it's no more.
You couldn't bet. No, but then the next day, Kyle sent me something saying Packers over 8.5 plus 100. That's a pretty solid bet based on the tweet that I saw with Rodgers and Adams, One Last Dance. It was Jordan and Pippen. There was a big deal, if anybody saw The Last Dance, how Jordan and Pippen left because Jerry Krause, the front
office,
let them figure things out, this, that, and the other. I kind of equate that, and I think that there's been reports, I don't know who reported it, I'm sure one of the fucking hacks reported that Rodgers has been quoted as calling Gutekunst, Goot, as we'll call the piece of shit, GM of the Packers, Jerry Krause, and ruining the dynamic of the team.
I didn't know that was a thing.
So when you're putting all these things together, it kind of makes me feel like they agreed amongst each other that they're going to have one last go at things and see how things shake out. Now, I'll say this as well. David Bakhtiari was tweeting out pictures the same day that the odds were pulled on Green Bay of Rodgers working out with Bakhtiari preseason. You know, like
what about
4 days ago, Rodgers and Bakhtiari were in the gym together getting ready for camp. It strikes me as a little
odd. What about
odd.
Smith asking for a realtor? What was that all about? Darius Smith. Somebody, I need a realtor in Green Bay ASAP. Did you see that one?
Yeah, he's talking about he needs a new house.
Is he trying to move away? Is he trying to sell his house? Is he trying to out of Green Bay?
Based on the tweet that everybody went nuts, what do you mean you need a realtor? He said, relax, everybody. I'm looking to upgrade my house.
Okay.
Of course, they take the news and they run with it.
Truth.
There is a lot going on with his contract as well, where they said he's kind of looking for he just restructured this offseason. He wants more guaranteed money. Then what were you thinking restructuring a month ago? I don't believe everything you hear on the media. That's a shining example of that. He'll be there next year regardless.
Okay.
We'll see what happens after.
We'll see. It's going to be interesting. We'll get into the training camp stuff in just a minute, but I do want to touch on the Yankees first because that's just fresh in the mind. Worst loss of the season, because of the fact that there was a no-hit bid going in, like, into the eighth. Like, that's insane to me. You know, if you turn the game on and you're seeing that Herman's got his stuff for the first time all season. But then it really pissed me off because I think it was Paul O'Neill or David Cohn. One of those two guys said, does he have enough to go the distance? Because he was at like 80-something pitches heading into the eighth inning and his season high was 85. My problem with the Herman thing is that as soon as he gave up a hit, Boone was like 1 foot out the dugout. And he was like, you're done. Like, why? Why does that necessarily have to be a thing? Why couldn't they just let him go? And he had his stuff all game. So now he's all of a sudden lost his stuff because he let up one hit? That's garbage. Boone needs to be accountable big time for that loss. Big time. Because their bullpen is shit now. Is shit. Jonathan Loaisico, all of a sudden, garbage. Garbage. And I'm like, well then what the hell? What are you doing? Like, what is...
The Yankees are in peril.
Is this season lost? Are we? Can we finally say it's lost?
I won't say it's lost because I don't want to sit here with egg on my face if they do make a comeback.
And wouldn't you love to be proved wrong? Like, I would. Of course.
So I won't say it's lost, but I said it last week. This team finds ways to lose games. No matter what happens, they could play great. Right before All-Star break, the Astros lost. This week with the Red Sox, good teams don't find ways to lose games.
Right.
The Yankees are just not a good baseball team right now. Mm-hmm. You could look at Boone. You could look at the players underperforming. LeMahieu's batting 265. He was supposed to be batting 330.
Right.
Across the board.
That's all fresh off a contract, too. So
across the board, everyone's underperforming. Luke Voit, AL home run king. He can't stay healthy. Judge is a COVID list. The bullpen is in shambles.
It's a mess.
It started off the best in baseball. And they do have a really good bullpen. I don't want to make it seem like a bad couple
weeks. Not as of late. I mean,
nothing is working as of late.
Service Team of Professionals, a.k.a. Stop Restoration of Edison, is a locally owned and operated business that provides professional disaster cleaning and restoration services, including a 24-hour emergency service to homeowners, property managers, real estate investors, and insurance companies alike. Stop Restoration helps people overcome the stress and anxiety of unforeseen circumstances caused by fire, smoke, water, mold, and other unexpected damages. As part of a nationally recognized restoration franchise, Stop Restoration of Edison is backed by the best technical advisors and business consultants in the country. Visit them right now online at www.stop-edison.com. The silver lining is, despite their four games over 500 at 51-47, the silver lining is that they're 3.5 out of the second wildcard spot, which is, that's very doable. But now, I'm telling you right now, July 26, 2021, the New York Yankees have no chance to win this division at all. They are nine games back.
They can't beat the teams that are ahead.
There's not enough games left with Boston.
They can't beat the Red Sox.
Right. I mean,
if they played the Red Sox, what, eight more times this year?
Whatever
that's
it is.
That's probably a shot. It would be a lot. I don't think that's even the case. They've gotten two big series out of the way just recently. I know they have one game to make up, so that might make it seven. I think they got two series left with Boston. If they sweep them,
you'll still be down two.
They're still down two. Right. And let's be real, they're not going to fucking sweep.
Not even close. And that's when you thought like the hope was in the air. Like after that big win on Saturday night, you're like, all right, you know what? We could split, and then we'll go back to square one and be down seven games. Now you're down nine, bro.
The Yankees had one big inning on Saturday, and without that big inning, it's a four-game sweep, and they're down 10
right,
or 11.
Right, and that just goes to show you that it's a wrap. And we kept saying and preaching that the Red Sox were going to digress a little bit and not play as well. And
not
can't
if they
finish.
Play the Yankees every fucking week.
Right, they could just be up on the Yankees, which is terrible. And I think you mentioned it last week. Like, what I would love to know, and it doesn't say it right off the rip on the standings, but like I would love to know their record against the AL East. Like, it's got to be abysmal. You know what I mean? Like, they're beating up on the low-hanging fruit, and then they're losing games to the low-hanging fruit. So the Yankees, this year is a wash. You know, I got my boys texting me in the picture messages the other night of like just scoreboard of like the Red Sox beating them. And I was like, my response to them was like, I'm like, this year stinks. Like, and there's people that on our Facebook group and we interact about the Yankees all the time. I had egg on my face. I'm like, Herman with a big start, blah, 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 blah. We're going to win. And then everybody's like, this age quickly. And I'm like, I felt stupid because I'm like, but that doesn't happen to the good teams.
Yeah.
You know, like if they have a 4-0 lead, a no-hit bid, you go to the bullpen, you shut it down, you get nine outs, it's game over.
You know how I banned AJ's betting blogs?
Yeah.
I might ban the Yankees conversation from the podcast going forward until they fucking win five in a row.
I'm with it.
Let's just talking about how bad the Yankees are.
I mean, look, football,
every day.
Training camp start this week. We're going to dive in like head first, because you're right. There's nothing good to talk about. We'll leave that up to AJ to sell it in his rundown when he's here.
We can comment on it just like they're the Padres at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I wish they were the Padres.
The Padres, meaning like they're not our fucking team.
Right. It's sad. I haven't even worn my Yankee hat in a couple of days. I'm embarrassed. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just wearing another Jimmy Palumbo favor where there's no star on the Dallas hat. But yeah, man. I mean, again, not much more to talk about when it comes to the Yankees because they're just a bad baseball team right now. Can't get out of their own way. Can't get a win when it's absolutely necessary like it was yesterday. And now, you know, you got a series coming up when they get back. And then Miami, you know, they're going to play Jeter and maybe Jeter lays down for him or something like that. But, like, this is they'll win some games. Don't get me wrong. But, like,
Jeter's not laying down for anybody. He wants to win. And let's dismiss the notion because we've seen it. And this is another – I hate to reference Kang –
no, here we go. Yeah, go ahead.
Him acting like that it was a gift that Jeter gifted Stanton to the Yankees.
I hate that theory.
Stop with that shit.
Yeah, that's the
Yankees,
so stupid.
They took $30 million of a $300 million contract, the Marlins did. The Yankees gave them a gift by taking on that contract.
We're about to find out because I just looked and I remember looking at it. But the Yankees open up in Tampa next series tomorrow. So it's like this is either going to break you or keep you around enough to talk about. Like that's
speaking of bad losses. Did you see the USA men's team?
Oh, God, bro.
France.
God, what is the deal with them? Like, and you know what's funny? I think Kyle Kerms put it up there today, or a Patrick Ewing quote, saying that the guys are just built different. You know, it's not. Why can't we just admit the fact that that dream team is the best team ever assembled, and that's that? Why compare?
What Patrick Ewing was alluding to has some merit.
Yes.
I think that just in general, European players, the Dirks of the world, the Lucas.
These dropped 48 yesterday in his debut.
They were young when the Dream Team came to Barcelona, and they took Europe by storm. So a lot of these young kids who turned into NBA players, but this was 92.
Right.
A lot of the guys that are playing now in Europe weren't even born in 92.
That's sad, right?
And I don't think there's one player on the USA.
No, they're all born in 2000 because they're all 20 years old. So that would make sense.
Is Durant? Durant might be the only one that was born previous.
Maybe. But like he's probably 98 or some shit like that, you know?
No. 98 means that you're 24. Durant's in his 30s.
Oh, all right. So yeah. He's probably born when we were born. You know,
no, like, he's born in like 92.
Okay, as the Dream Team. But I think it's okay to not compare things. Why do people have to compare things anyway?
There's no better team
that we've ever seen better than the 92 Dream Team. That's it. Stop trying to think.
Essentially, that was all amateur players overseas. There were pros in
right, but they were just beating the doors off these guys.
They were pros in their own country, but that was the first USA basketball team that I could know that I remember in my lifetime, at least, or maybe even ever, where they allowed the NBA players to play. So it was just the level of competition from what these guys were used to until now is vastly different. And what you see now is a 30 or 40 year progression of that. 30 years, we'll say.
Yeah.
It was 92.
Well, I think that's what Ewing said. Didn't he say like they've caught up?
It's not that they caught up.
But that's true.
They play legitimate team basketball and they foul. They use their fouls right.
Kyle said that too. He brought that up. Like, guys are looking for the foul. And then when they're not fouls, they throw up an ill-advised shot and it's garbage and it's no good. You know what I mean? It doesn't necessarily mean when you stack the amount of players that the Team USA has stacked together this year, it doesn't mean it's going to translate into wins.
I'll equate it to.
I think I was the one who said they should win every game by 15. And now I'm like,
and
oh,
I shut
maybe
it
not.
Down immediately. I said, no.
Yeah,
they're
no.
not going to. Just because they have the best stars, they need to bring in role players. They need to bring in a guy like I wouldn't say Tyson Chandler because he's past his prime, but players like that where they're just going to be rim protectors and they're not going to come in and try and clean up and take shots and just a rim protector on defense, a guy that's going to bring the ball up and look to pass only.
Right.
They don't practice enough. You got guys coming from the NBA finals right to the team and they think that because Devin Booker's a great player or this guy's a great player that they're going to have an impact. The fact is they're not practicing. I equate it to the way you'll see a few mid-majors a year in the NCAA tournament do really well because they get a team full of seniors. And by the time they're all seniors, you know, they're beating the teams of Kentucky and things like that who have a team full of freshmen that haven't played together for a while.
Right.
These European teams, outside of the one NBA player or the two NBA players on it, they're playing fucking all year round together. Maybe not playing in games, but they're practicing.
Right.
There's a team feel to it. These guys, they're just going there to have fun. And
they're going in there very Rocky III-esque, and a lot of these teams are Clubber Lang.
They're expecting to beat the shit out of everybody, but they're not understanding the fact that when you're France and you get to play against the NBA stars, that's your fucking game 7 of your NBA finals, whether it's a gold medal game or not. Mm. France came to play, and they do have NBA guys.
I mean, these games don't count, right?
Well, they count.
Are they counting now?
They count. They're just not elimination games. I think that everybody kind of does their little round robin, and then they get seated where they get seated. But I'm not even sure how that works. I just know that you're not supposed to be losing to France if you're Team USA.
Correct. I'm looking at the again, I have not paid attention at all to the Olympics yet. Like, some of the stuff is cool, but I haven't got into it. The no fans thing kind of hurts me. Like, I'm just like, there's nobody there to cheer.
I haven't watched the Olympics ever.
Okay, well, sometimes I get into it just based off the sports. You know what I mean? Like, and the medal counts right now is China with 18, USA with 14, and Japan with 13. So we're second in the medal counts right now as far as USA is concerned. That's overall. But, like, again, there's sports on here that just I didn't even know existed. You know, like, that's an Olympic sport. I believe climbing is an Olympic sport.
You know what's cool? The 3-on-3 basketball.
I did hear about that. I didn't watch it.
But the United States team didn't even qualify. There's just women. 3-on-3 women.
Unbelievable, dude. Unbelievable. I think the U.S. The basketball team is at least doing something. I don't know, man. Not basketball. Soccer. I don't know. Tune into Squeaky Bum Time. They'll probably go over it. But, yeah, that's our Olympics. Since Olympics needs to be touched on.
We almost got canceled by some drunk. What?
Yeah, who the hell was that, bro? Out of nowhere.
I don't know. I think it's a Ben Wexler friend. He's someone that...
Oh, so he's like a legit human being where like people know him. That's the case, I'll smack that kid right in the mouth for doing what he did.
I think so. It's irrelevant to me. I just blocked him and muted him and put it past me or put it behind me. There's no reason to even stress about it.
You know, I haven't smacked the guy.
I think that was a drunk.
Was it? It was like 8 in the morning. Wasn't it?
No, it was at midnight.
Oh.
But there was
that's what I saw.
There was literally no other activity out of that person since he joined Chop Sports. There was a few likes because I check. I see like, who is
that? Yeah, you can see like the chart of when they post.
He's been in Chop Sports for a while since December.
Right, I saw that.
And he decided to start chirping. And I took a few things personal, even though I don't let him bother me. I took him personally as if he was talking directly to me. And I'm wondering, I'm like, bro, when we're talking about content, you control the content you get.
That's the beauty about Chop Sports.
Specifically a podcast. Like, you don't listen to a podcast unless you go seek it out and listen to it. If you're listening and you're saying what you're saying, that means that you know... You do listen. Just based off of his complaints.
Well, he said that we call everybody hacks and this, that, and the third. I'm like, I don't remember saying that so written, you know? So that means you're definitely listening. So thank you for the download, first of all.
At times, understandable that I am a hack. Sometimes I say things that are wrong.
It's sure.
Just what it is, when you put what you think out there on a daily basis, eventually you're going to fuck up. And I have fucked up. But this guy's nobody to fucking talk.
No.
Anyway.
Not at all. Wasted 30 seconds of our life talking about that clown. But anyway, moving into NFL training camp, we're in full swing right now. The Dallas Cowboys have had 3 practices. Big Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers have had a couple practices. So those guys are in full swing. You can catch me tomorrow on Blogging the Boys YouTube channel, 6 o'clock Eastern time, to recap more practices for the Dallas Cowboys. But the story that broke, not broke, but like just kind of surfaced today, was that Deshaun Watson was reporting to camp. It happened, I believe, yesterday. Yesterday he said it, that he was reporting to camp to avoid the fines, right? One, how do you do that? Despite all the stuff that's going on, how do you just report to camp and act like nothing is nothing? Which I'm very surprised, because nobody has heard from Deshaun Watson in a long, long time. And you know there's going to be media.
I'll tell you exactly
how. There's media.
Money talks, bro.
Well, I get that, but I'm saying you're going to have to face the music now.
What needs to happen in this situation, if you're the Texans, is you say, we're not going to fine you. We'll pay you the money anyway, just stay away. Because he's not trying to hold out and risk his money because he needs some money for his lawyers.
There's plenty of it.
But you understand the reasoning behind it. Yeah. There's a lot of money on the table for him.
I think it was 50 G's a day.
He's just going to go there and put his head down. I imagine they're going to keep him. They're going to send him home. They should. But the Texans are a fucking shithole. They
agreed.
Fuck up everything.
Agreed. But I'm just telling you right now, the media will not talk to him. They can't just say like Deshaun Watson not available. That's bullshit. You can't do that. Like that's a rule. That's in your contract. So you have to talk to the media. He's not going to want to do that because of all the
shit. He could talk to the media about.
He's just going to do a next question a million times.
I think that there'll be a disclaimer saying like he can't talk about it. He might say, "Look, I can't talk about this. It's not going to be a next question thing." All right. And then eventually they'll get the point that he can't because there's legal proceedings going on. So on advice of his lawyers, that he can't talk about what's going on right now.
Right. And all right. Well. Okay.
Eventually, the media will have to just understand that. Or,
totally.
Or the Texans will say, we're not going to fine you. You don't have to come to camp. And it'll be a team-initiated thing because of everything that's going on.
Mm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's the first part of the Deshaun Watson thing that you read about today. Now it's open for trade. There's open season on Deshaun Watson, according to the Texans. So they've put it out there like, we're open for a trade, but guess what? It's going to cost you 3 first-round picks. Get out of here.
Actually still said 3 first-round picks.
That's what I'm reading.
All things considered.
That's what I'm reading.
I think that might be old, and there's just a badly written article. They can't expect 3 first-round picks for a guy that's 95% of the chance not going to play this season.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Who's the moron who would actually pay that? Or, like, pay that price? Like, that's not... That can't be a thing. See, Sarah Barshop released an article at 8:30 in the morning saying that, yeah, that there's going to be, they know what they want. It says ESPN Adam Schefter contributed to this report. Of course he did. But for what it's worth, like, there can't be a team in the NFL right now that would literally give up any first round, maybe one, because it's still a young quarterback, and I'm sure this will all be behind him by next year, you would think.
The only team that I could think of that's stupid enough to give up 3 first-round picks for a player like Deshaun Watson in the situation he's in is the Texans, and they can't trade with themselves, so I don't see how he gets
moved. Is Bill O'Brien involved anywhere in the NFL? Because I'm sure he'll make a bad trade. But, like, I again, not worth it to me. This kid is obviously not going to play. If there's not a team in the NFL right now, I don't think, if I, like, really quickly glaze over the league, there's not a team in the NFL that's in dire need of a starting quarterback. I don't think. Like, I think there's what? as Gooch looks at his Green Bay helmet. Look, I mean, yeah, I guess Rodgers.
The Packers are definitely not interested in
Deshaun. But I'm saying, like, there's no teams in the NFL. I guess if you want to talk to the Vikings about not being sold on Kirk, or you want to talk to Detroit about not being sold on Goff after a year, you got to let them play at least once, or 1 year at least. But, you know, the Bears, they just drafted Justin Fields. I'm just trying to think of, like, the teams in my head. And there's no teams that are going to be banging on the door for Deshaun Watson, especially with all the shit going on. So, like, I don't think it's a thing.
As soon as whatever happens with the legal things get cleared up, there'll be a shitload of teams that are lined up.
Well, that's just not like the theory that we rounders. Said, like, oh, you know, what's the theory we said? Like, oh, that this team's interested. Like, AKA every team is interested when certain people go on the market. If all these allegations aren't out there, of course I'm trading for Deshaun Watson.
I can easily see Watson as a Minnesota Viking because the Cousins experiment
or a Washington football team
will probably end this season. Even though he's got fully guaranteed money in his contract, I think that after this year, there is some type of stipulation.
There's always an out.
Get rid of him.
NFL contracts are finicky like that. There's always an out.
I read an article about this being Kirk Cousins' final stand.
Attempt to
break to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see. But coming up on this podcast, we will be previewing each and every division. We're going to line up some guests and get people either in studio or Zoom in or what, not Zoom in, but call in the hotline or whatever, which you can do. You can call in the hotline whenever you want, 732-200-2970. Leave us a message. We'll play it on the air if it's good. You know, if you're the clown show that got kicked out of Chop Sports and you want to leave us a nice, like, threatening, like, hate-filled death threat, do that too, and we'll play it, and we'll just break it down. You know, we'll break it down. But yeah, so the Deshaun Watson stuff surfaces again as he is about to report to camp, as is every other 30 teams in the NFL outside the Cowboys and the Steelers who already got started. Now, one thing that did pop up, and this will be the last thing we talk about today, but the one popped up was that Madden decides to drop in a couple weeks, which, again, I haven't played a video game in probably since we started Chop Sports, which I was always a big Madden head. I tried to get into Call of Duty. I just sucked bad. Like, I couldn't.
You got to do campaign mode.
Yeah, yeah.
Going online is not fun.
No, because especially when you're bad and then you're getting beat up by 12-year-old kids in freaking Oklahoma. You know what I mean? Like, people are like, yeah, fuck you. And then we're like, oh, you know what? Go, you know, kill yourself. No,
I think by Oklahoma, you meant Korea.
Or whatever. Any, right? Anywhere. Like, anywhere in the U.S. I just was called the medic because I was going to be, you know, I would put the thing in the arm and get my guys up and revived. Shout out to Nick Smith and, you know, and my boy Mark, who were my running mates and always supported the dream that I can get good, and I just never did. But I will say that there was a Madden rating of the top 10 receivers in the game, in the video game, not so much in the NFL, because there might be a couple contestants to this. I'll just roll off the list without giving their ratings. And one guy that wasn't put in the list was DK Metcalf in the top 10. Number 10, Allen Robinson. So we're going from 10 to 1. Number 10, Allen Robinson. Number 9, Mike Evans. Number 8, Amari Cooper. Number 7, Keenan Allen. Number 6, Michael Thomas, who will be missing time this year. Number 5, Julio Jones, who's now playing with the Titans. Number 4, Stephon Diggs. Number 3, Tyreek Hill. Number 2 is the obvious, the 2-1 combo. 2 is Hopkins, and of course, number 1 is Devontae Adams. Now, do you feel, looking at that list, do you feel that DK Metcalf belongs in the top 10? Who is he? Is he better than any of these receivers, pound for pound? Because my theory is, and I said this online today, I don't think Metcalf is there yet, but I think by next year, he's probably in the top 6. You know, like he's got another year.
Right now.
Whoa. Okay. Bombshell. I think that's a bombshell. Who are you taking out of this?
When we're talking about Madden ratings,
this is Madden,
right?
We're
talking about attributes. Right?
Sure.
Speed.
Yes.
Size.
Yes.
Athleticism.
Catching.
Route running.
So, yeah, all the right? attributes. Yes.
So, if you're looking at Madden ratings and you're going to create a player, I'm creating DK Metcalf.
So, yes, he is the prototype look. And I said that to Dags, who was the one who got on my case about it. He's like, I'm like, I think you're infatuated with the fact that this guy looks like $1 million and he's built like a brick shit house.
I'm telling you, like, his numbers are there. There might be a little bit of
a little droppage. So, and that's why I can't put him over anybody here.
You can't put him over anybody here that doesn't play. Like Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen can't stay healthy. I love Keenan Allen.
Yeah,
he's
but
a great route runner, but that's about all he's better. He's got maybe better hands and he's got better route running than Metcalf. Maybe.
I think that's 100% yes.
No, I'm saying better hands and better route running, but DK Metcalf could catch and he could run routes.
I get it. Proven, he can also strike out and slow pitch softball. But
that's besides the point.
No, but what Madden does is this is based off of their health.
And I know that not to bash any of the Cowboys, I have Cooper in two of my fantasy leagues. I probably won't retain him this year because you know
he's going to lose some balls.
I think he loses some balls.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't put Amari Cooper over DK right now.
I think Amari Cooper is the best route runner in football.
That's absurd.
Okay, well, watch him. Watch the tape.
I would say there's some other guys that you could possibly put in the top 10 just because it's changing of the guard. These guys in Madden.
Well, I have mentioned here there's Justin a youth Jefferson, movement. There's a youth movement coming. CD
there's
Lamb.
A bunch of guys that are approaching this top 10 list.
Yeah, this will probably look a lot different.
I think Michael Thomas got to go all the way the fuck out of the top 10 list. He has zero touchdowns last year.
Dak Prescott caught more touchdowns than Michael Thomas last year.
He's already not healthy to start this season. Why? Why is he there? Is it because if they don't put him there, he'll fucking cry like a baby? I'm sure he would.
It's possible.
Mike Evans, you got to respect
him. He's amazing. I think Mike Evans is still one of the...
He's too low.
Right. Evans being 9.
I put him at 7.
I put him at maybe 5.
Maybe 6, but maybe I move Tyreek Hill out of the top 5.
I said it on the post, and I think Kyle agreed with me to an extent. He commented back. I think Tyreek Hill is a one-trick pony, man. I mean, like, he's the fastest guy in the league, don't get me wrong, and he'll burn you off the line, but bump him, give him some body, he might not be productive.
I think Allen Robinson's the most underrated player definitely the most underrated receiver, if not the most underrated player in the league.
But there's other guys that were left off this list as well. Do you agree that maybe, you're going to say no because of the team, Adam Thielen is really good at football. Come on, man. Take your Packer bullshit out of this.
Okay, who's he on the
list? I'm not saying he's in.
And DK. So
I didn't say that. I said there's guys that could make a run within the next year.
I think Alan Lazard belongs on the list.
Oh, Christ. I mean, come on. That's like me saying Noah Brown for the Cowboys should be on the list. Like, and nobody's ever heard of him. Lazard had a decent year. He's going to be good.
Look, I'm fucking around. But Adam Thielen, stop.
You don't really
stop it.
All right,
stop it. We're gonna come up with AJ Brown. I'll give you that. I'll give you some other guys.
AJ Brown,
Adam Thielen, just stop.
All right. Well, what about the fact that I don't think DK Metcalf is the best receiver on his team right now? I think that Tyler Lockett is highly underrated. Highly underrated.
He's definitely underrated, but I think him and Russ have a connection. I don't think he's a better receiver. I think DK's getting the double teams there 100%.
Okay. What about Kenny Golladay? I know he's on a worser team. Well, is it a worse team? I don't know. I mean,
worser
is definitely not a word. Not sure why I said it like that, but he's on a worser team versus who are you versing? I think Golladay has improved his stock.
Golladay has a chance to pop into the top 10.
He has a chance to improve his stock because he's with a better offense than the Lions. The Giants are 100% better than the Lions as far as an offense.
There's a ton of guys that we're glossing over and not really.
Well, that's why I tried to think of the tandems that we're seeing in the league. Like, you already have Evans over there, and you have AJ Brown with Tampa.
I'd say Justin Jefferson.
Jefferson's on his way.
AJ Brown kind of belong in the top 10. I would take out Michael Thomas, I would take out Amari Cooper, and I would take out Keenan Allen.
Taking out Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm bumping. And you said before, and I quote, you think that Diggs has a chance to regress as well this year.
I do.
But why? Because like his quarterback's only getting better. So like why would he regress?
I think Cole Beasley is a little. He had his career year last year.
He might get cut.
He might not even be on the roster.
Right. He might get cut based off of the bullshit.
They don't really have much in the way of a running game. I do believe Buffalo is a really good team, and they have a chance to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, but they also have a really strong chance to just not be as good as people think because it's the NFL, and you got to go out there and win games and play games, and people are gunning for them this year. They almost got a target on their heads as one of the tougher teams. They'll be playing a lot more primetime games, I would imagine. Let's just see. Is Buffalo for real? We're going to find out.
It's a wait and see.
I think based on the fact that they were 13-3, almost anything is going to be a regression. Are they going to win 13 games? I don't know. Is Diggs going to stay healthy all year? I don't know. I watched Diggs closely in Minnesota, and he wasn't the top three receiver in football the way people look at him now. Top three, top five.
On that team when he was a Viking, I thought Thielen was a better receiver than Diggs was.
I mean, he wasn't, and it's the same reason why is – I don't think DK is worse than Lockett because Diggs was getting the, you know, when the Packers were playing the Vikings, Jair was covering Diggs.
Yeah, of course. So you throw to the opposite side. I mean, that's football.
To me, it's who's better is where's the corner playing?
Okay. Where's their better corner?
Where's
playing?
The better corner playing? Yeah. Where's the double team rolling to? Truth. That's the better receiver. I think in Dallas, you're going to see a little bit of the changing of the guard early,
right.
Which is a great thing for Dallas, obviously, because Cooper is a solid guy, and I think he's, you know, just outside
there's
the top 10.
There's a
show-up
problem with
just
him.
Just outside the top 10. He's a little bit lazy. I don't think he does other things well as far as run blocking and things like that. I see him being a little bit lazy.
I'm not going to argue on that. I think that, like I said, by week four, you know, CeeDee Lamb is wide receiver one in Dallas. Talking about Dallas, like they're going to have a decision to make when it comes to Michael Gallup. Is he the number two can you move on from Cooper? Cooper's price tag is $20 million a year, bro. You know what I mean? So they can do some big things by moving Cooper next year. And I'm not against that. You know,
I don't think they're going to be able to trade him. They'll probably it's his contract is up. No,
no, no, no. He signed a 4-year deal last year, $20 million a year. So $80 million as a receiver. Or maybe it was even $5 million, or it was $100 million. Yeah, that's what it was. 5 years, $100 million. So
right,
$20 million a year.
His contract is up. I mean, where does his guaranteed money stop?
Probably outside the third year, which is probably after this year. So next year, his guaranteed money was probably takes a hit. You know, so that's why it's a thing. You can definitely move on from Amari Cooper, but I think Cooper belongs in the top 10 right now as far as his route running ability. When he's in the open field, he's one of the faster receivers in the league. You wouldn't even think it because it's Dallas, and you forgot all about the Dallas offense last year because it was run by Andy Dalton. So that's why I think people are going to – you might want to pump the brakes.
I'm waiting for the text that we're going to definitely get, like a Calvin Ridley doesn't belong.
No. But no.
I think Calvin Ridley and Amari Cooper are very similar players.
By next year, we're going to find out if Ridley belongs because now he's going to get the brunt of the better corners, correct?
I'm just trying to think of who I'm going to get a text message from and why. I think Ibby might have brought up a Ridley.
Yeah, but Ibby is very realistic with his Falcons.
No, I'm just saying, and we're talking about a top 10 receiver and we're mentioning guys that
he's
might,
not going to say Ridley belongs.
In, that might crack in. I think that they deserve mention. I put Ridley
we mentioned a couple.
On the level of just outside the top 10. And the pecking order at that point is really up for grabs.
Yeah. I mean, there's teams with no, like, their number ones aren't, they don't belong in the top 20.
But strictly Madden ratings, DK's got to be there.
Strictly Madden ratings, he is a freak. He is the, like you said, create a player. I'm creating DK with his 15 abs. Like, I get it, bro. He's an absolute monster. But I just think he's like a year away. Just a year away. I'm talking, let him run and go nuts this year, and I think he will. I think Seattle will be good on offense. Carson looks like a monster, too.
I think what Madden is doing is they're kind of paying homage a little bit. And
yeah, they don't want to piss anybody off.
These ratings are dynamic. They could change them as the season goes on.
They do.
Things are a little more fluid. Players earn the 99 rating that didn't previously have it.
Truth.
And you'll see this.
Does anybody else deserve a 99 besides Adams and Hopkins?
No.
No, right? I 100% agree with that.
Maybe DK. I'm joking.
Not only is he DK in this list, he's now a 99 in Madden. But listen, I think it was a fun conversation because, again, this is what we're about, man. We chop it up. We debate the – and we said it the other day. We were like, like, can we talk about receivers? And we're like, there's so many. But we kind of gave you the top, I don't know, 15 when we're talking about maybe even top 20 receivers in the league right now. There is a youth movement coming with the CeeDee Lambs and the Justin Jeffersons of the world. Maybe Ruggs turns it on again. Jerry Judy's not bad. You know what I mean? He's another burner. Cortland Sutton, very underrated. We didn't say him. He coming off an injury. You know, there's a lot of guys. Like, it's unfortunate because you do think about teams and think about, like, all right, who's their number one? Like the Jets. Who's your number one? Is it? It's Corey Davis, right? So that's like.
So the Titans have by far the best receiving core in the league.
The best tandem, at least. The 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else?
No, I mean, AJ Brown, Julio Jones. No, there's nobody. I can't say there's nobody close.
Nobody close.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody close, actually, thinking about it. You know, I'm not even going to throw
maybe
Dallas.
Maybe Thielen and fucking Jefferson?
I mean, listen, you're using that Vikings bias against this list. But yeah.
I absolutely hate Adam Thielen.
How can you hate Adam Thielen?
How could anybody not?
I love him. Like, I love, again, he hasn't burned me for years. So I guess, you know, again, I don't know his stats against Green Bay.
I was going to say, what do you mean
burned
for years?
It's not
like
burn,
Minnesota's been doing
he hasn't
shit.
Played me twice a year for the last 3 years. You know what I mean? So there's not a lot of hatred to go towards Adam Thielen right now on my end. But anyway, so.
Crybaby.
With that being said, be sure to check out Chophead's MMA podcast, which drops tonight, coming fresh off a UFC fight night with TJ Dillashaw that looked like a complete mess. Based off of what we've seen, I actually listened to our partners over here, our neighbors, DJVW. They broke down the fight a little bit as well. I didn't see the fight. I have to watch the fight because apparently, you know, Chop Sports cried bloody murder, saying that TJ was robbed. But I mean, not TJ. Sandhagen. He was robbed. You know, and again, could be. You know, we'll see. I'll go watch the fight to give my own breakdown. Not that I'm an expert or anything like that, but neither are these judges, so that's okay. Go check him out. Check out tomorrow. We'll have Jimmy Palumbo, Joe Matarese. Better drop an episode, or I'll literally text him myself saying, like, "Are you still with us? Are you not? Are you too focused on your Remember When T-shirts and your West Coast
he
video?"
Sent me a text yesterday. I haven't responded to it yet. Obviously.
Well, there's a rabbit hole you can go down when you respond to a text.
He asked me, "How come he can't attach our store to his Instagram?" And I said, "I can't even attach our store to my Instagram, so I'll let you know when I figure that out." Only I didn't say that because I haven't responded.
Yes. Well, keep it that way for just a little bit longer. We have a big day today. Got a marketing guy coming in here, Jimmy Palumbo, coming in to record. But again, big week for the network, big week for the NIL guys. We're going to get a lot of shirts out there. They keep making money. We've already dished out a lot of money, you know what I mean? And it's been very rewarding to me. And I said this on my Twitter. I don't know if I've done anything like this in my life to feel this good, you know, to make guys like Tverdov and Paz and all the guys we've, you know, Chandler Semedo, all these guys that we've gotten that are selling their shirts all over the country and like local support, and it's great. And a lot of these guys, IBZ, Cedrice from Rutgers, they all love it. They're buying into the concept that they should be making money, and it's rewarding. It's rewarding that we're doing this for the kids. I say kids because, again, they're 15 years younger than us, so they're kids to us. But college football will be exciting this year for us because, again, we were out at Aruga's and we saw Schiano on the TV. You're like, "Oh, there's our guy, Greg Schiano." And I, like an idiot, I posted that on my Instagram, which was pretty stupid considering the fact that Pecorella was the first one to give me a thumbs down emoji. And I'm like, "Oh, well, I guess it's not going to make the Maryland guys happy that I'm saying that's our guy." But look, dude, we got like 80% Rutgers athletes. So we're trying here. We're trying. But subscribe to all the podcasts on the network. Tune into us every day as we start to break down NFL training camps as they start to roll around. We're excited. Football's here. We have a brand new studio. When I walked in today, Chris does this once a month. I feel like he needs like change. Change is good. We're broadcasting from the other side. The couch no longer looks like it's a casting couch. It's actually a viewing couch now. So, my apologies to anybody who doesn't know what that is. Don't look it up because it's just not a good idea.
We have a big plans for football season coming up, and I had to readjust. I've been thinking about it all weekend.
Yeah.
How we're going to be able to watch football in here, and I didn't really like the idea of having to switch the studio.
Did you record like this last night, or you did this morning?
No, I did this morning.
Wow, look at you. Just going nuts. You responding to AJ at like 6:20 in the morning with my eyes just opening up, and I'm like, they're having a conversation right now, and I'm like half asleep. So with that, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast. We will see you guys tomorrow for Sturch and Gooch. Have yourself a fantastic Monday.
Time to put some aloe on my ball sack.
Your balls are hot.